Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
What's up, kiddo? I love you too.
Oh,
those are the best.
That's staying in.
Just the, yeah, I guess we should. Hey everyone, welcome to Mini Crush. if you listened last week, you'll know that my daughter's in the basement with me on her iPad because we have no childcare help and I got to work and I got just out of nowhere, Daddy, what? I love you. Those are the best, Noel.
I completely agree. I still get him. She still loves me, Chuck. She still loves me.
When you're not asking for it, you know?
Yeah. No,
it's just
great.
The best feeling in the world.
Or she just pops in and gives me a little smooch on the cheek.
Man.
You know?
I love it.
Yeah. Kids are great.
And Ruby is a very, very physically affectionate and snuggly kid, which is something that I require in my life because I'm very physically affectionate. And that really fills me up. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, not me and the kid. She's 11, but we still have what I refer to as morning snugs.
Oh,
where, like, you know, she'll come in and we'll just, like, have a little morning snug
and then get on
with our day. It's the best.
I'm glad to know that. I hope that never goes away because she calls it snuggle time. Daddy, snuggle time.
Mm-hmm.
See, Noel, I'm already mad at the new Facebook because I'm looking for something and I don't even know how to look for it. I hate it. Ugh.
What are we going to do about this, Chuck?
I don't know. It's so clunky. It's just like, it's so fucking awful. I saw your hot take, by the way, on the Facebook page when someone was asking for controversial hot takes.
Yeah.
What did you put? I think that's part of this bit.
I said movies are overrated.
Do you know what I said?
What?
E.T. was an asshole.
Yeah. Okay.
What a jerk yeah. That E.T. was.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, Chuck, we probably talked about this, but that part in E.T. where he gets all white and dried up like an old dog poop.
Spoiler. I'm just kidding.
Sorry. No. That part really freaked me out, man, when I was a kid. That was really upsetting.
No kidding.
I found it pretty upsetting. Yeah.
It's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a nice segue, though, Noel, because we're cribbing stuff from the Crushers page again. And our oldest of friends with one of the best Crusher names, Margarita Saramago, is the one who posted that. I feel like reading controversial stuff. So hit me up with your hottest movie takes. And that was mine. But boy, there's a lot of them on here. There's more than 240. And hot takes like this are always good because it gets a good discussion going, you know? So we're going to go start with Wesley McNeely. Blade Runner original theatrical release was the best cut. It's funny. Underneath, he's just getting hammered from people with memes.
Do you think these are people that really believe these things they're saying or just trying to get a rise like I was?
I think there's probably a mix of both, but I believe Wesley McNeely, I don't think Wesley was trying to get a rise. I think because there were a few likes too. You know, some people like that first cut. It's fine.
That's the one that, what, has less voiceover, nor is it more voiceover?
It's voiceover or no voiceover. The theatrical had voiceover.
That's right. And the theatrical one, was it more ambiguous or less ambiguous? Sorry, the ending. The theatrical one is where they drove away together in happiness into the country, right?
Yeah, which was... they stole the shots from The Shining, I think.
The Shining,
or was it the other way around?
No, I think you're right. The Shining would have been earlier. The winding country road shots,
yeah,
or whatever, the scenic highway shots were stolen from The Shining.
Yeah, exactly. Now I'm just confused.
It's okay, Chuck.
All right, here we go. Megan Rosabaugh says, I doubt this will be controversial in this crowd, but I finally watched The Notebook this weekend and hated it with a fiery passion.
You like it, Chuck. You sing that movie's praises. That's your favorite movie, I think.
Oh, shut up. I'm so mad at you.
You big sap.
I thought The Notebook was fine. It was It was very sweet, and it was definitely overly romantic.
Which one of them dies? Is it Gosling? Does he die?
I'm not going to spoil anything.
All right. I tried to trap you. It was a spoiler entrapment.
Well, let's say this. There's bookends, or not bookends, sort of a thread throughout of a flash forward with them both as old people. So,
oh, okay.
So, you know, okay, I can say that neither one of them dies young. That's what I'll say. Here we go with Andrew Abshire. Says Star Wars episodes 7 through 9 are not that bad. Star Wars fans ruined Star Wars. And you know what? Andrew's got a lot of people agreeing.
I still can't even process the numbering system. So 7 through 9 is like post original movies. It's like the prequels and such, right? Starting with 7.
Hold on, do you hear that?
Uh-oh, I do. She can't hear anything on the iPad, Chuck. Got to sort that out.
Well, what's the problem? Did it unplug? No. Are you sure? Does the volume down?
The volume's tell her, up. Tell her to turn it off and back on again. That always works.
You maybe just need to try a different thing. Is it a game or something you're watching? Well, try and watch something else and let me know if it doesn't work. And if not, you can come over here and I'll see if I can fix it, okay? All right, Noel. Let's just leave on. Oh, she's going to still
tell
watch
her
it.
To put on the subtitles.
She watches stuff with subtitles by accident, and I always go in there and turn them off.
Amazing.
Let me see here. Mike Sams says this. The last 20 to 30 minutes of Hereditary ruined everything that occurred before them.
A lot of people think that. A lot of people hated that ending.
Really? I did.
I found it chilling. I really liked it. I am definitely not in that camp, but some people think that everything from when the kid jumps out the window, falls out the window. Is this spoilers? I'm not even saying who it is, just the kid. That everything from then on is just cheesy and like overly dramatic and stupid. I do not agree. I found the last shot of the movie and that whole sequence in the treehouse to be really chilling. And that is honestly what stayed with me the most in some ways, you know?
Yeah, so I really like that movie.
I did too.
I did see a funny meme the other day, and I might have already said this one, but it said it was about 2020, you know, being such a horrible year. And it showed the girl from Hereditary on one side, and then it said 2020 on the other, and it just had a telephone pole.
Yep. Okay.
That's all we're going to say about that.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a hot take from Jan Hewling. I hate When Harry Met Sally. I think it's just Woody Allen for the masses. Total knockoff.
Yeah, I've never seen When Harry Met Sally. Is that the one where she like does the cum kind of thing at brunch?
Whoa, Noel.
What?
Good Lord.
What?
Can you call it like an fakes an orgasm and not that cum thing?
Sorry.
My Lord. It's 10:50 in the morning.
Whoa. Okay. I guess I found your trigger word.
I don't say the word cum until after 2 p.m.
Well, I spell it as God intended, C-O-M-E. Fuck all this, you know, you business in the middle.
She does
That's
the
just
cum thing.
Well, you knew what I was talking about, didn't you, Chuck?
That's so funny. I've never heard anyone describe that scene that way. Oh, boy, that's great. Yes, that is that movie, Noel.
Okay, good. So what do you think about this hot take? Do you enjoy the film, or do you find it knockoff-y?
No, man, I loved When Harry Met Sally. Okay. It's one of the great, great, perfectly written, most well-acted romantic comedies of all time. In a genre that doesn't have a ton of great movies, it stands out. The great Nora Ephron, I mean, masterful. How dare you? How dare you?
Sir or madam?
Jan.
Oh, it's madam.
So mad at you, Jan. I'm not that mad. Jan lives in Jersey City, so Jan's got it going on.
All right.
Michael Williams, all Wes Anderson movies are garbage.
That's a troll right there. What
do you think?
No, maybe not.
I don't know, man.
People definitely have opinions about things.
it's hard to tell sometimes because he didn't weigh back in and sort of defend it. So he may have just been throwing a little bait in the pond. You never know.
I mean, he's definitely got a thing, you know, that he does, Wes Anderson. And if you don't like that thing, you might not be into it, you know?
No, that's true.
I wouldn't say he's not, I mean, okay, this is going to sound, I don't know that this is entirely accurate, but I'm going to say it for lack of a better way of describing it. He's not the most versatile director. Like, he is he's Wes Anderson. You're going to get a Wes Anderson movie. Some of them might be animated. Some of them, you know, might have a massive cast. Some of them might be a little smaller, but like, they're all going to be very symmetrical. They're all going to have quirky, you know, miscreant characters that are trying to find their way in life.
I love it, man. I mean,
I think he's the best. I think he's so great.
Yeah, but I get what you mean. If you're not into that world, then you're certainly not going to like any of them because they're all derivative of themselves. And I like it.
And a little on the kind of elitist film snob tip that some people might just be totally disgusted by. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. I get that. One of our old friend Austin Handler says, hot take. Hudson Hawk is actually a very clever, funny, entertaining movie. And Julia Broad and Clayton Reese both endorsed that and agreed. I never saw it. Got such bad reviews, I just didn't even try. But
it's the one where he's a cat burglar, right? He's like a...
I think so.
Yeah. It's Bruce Willis is a cat burglar. I remember seeing it on like VHS from Blockbuster when I was a kid. And it's sort of a heisty kind of situation. But I don't really remember anything about it. But I don't know. It might be worth another look.
I'll check it out. Ian Lyon says the Avengers movies are painfully dull. Yeesh. And it got some people agreeing, too.
That's interesting. Where do you think that's coming from, Chuck? I mean, I always found them to be shockingly not dull for how long they are and how many fucking characters there are. And I just feel like they move along really at a great clip, and I'm very impressed by that ability for them to fit all these characters in, give them all their moments, and have it never feel like overstuffed. I think it's pretty impressive.
All right. I agree. I mean, they're, you know me, I'm on record. I'm down with the MCU. Farouk Barakat says this, not sure if this is a hot take, but Rudy is an annoying movie and character, and the real life person seems like an asshole. Not inspirational at all. I love the word asshole. It's so good.
It's a good one.
And butthole.
Butthole's fun.
Asshole I say about people, but yeah, butthole is what I use when I refer to the anus.
I agree.
Because it's just a funny word.
Sometimes I call people buttholes too, but that's more just like me trying to talk like a sixth grader, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
Be a butthole.
Don Lozano, Star Wars is not a teeny tiny bit interesting to me.
Yeah. I'm with you, bud.
Some people don't like Star Wars. You're not interested at all, Noel? That's
No. I was adding a hot take to the hot take. Gotcha. I enjoy the Star Wars. I just don't think they're as incredible as people make them out to be. I think the original ones have a lot of heart, and there was a lot of innovation, which I think is really important. But in a lot of ways, they're a little schlocky and kind of soap opera-y and a little overacted. Yeah. That's just me. But I enjoy all of them. They're fun, but I'm just not obsessed like some people are.
I'm with you. Diana Ratliff says, St. Elmo's Fire and The Big Chill are completely overrated and are both bad movies. Okay. Noel Brown says this.
Oh, yeah.
Movies are overrated. Did you see Culver Matthews' response?
No.
He said, Noel Brown, your mom isn't.
It's true. She's a popular lady.
Amy Crouch says, Noel Brown, your face is overrated.
I believe I responded to that one in the affirmative. I have a face for radio.
Yeah, he said truth. No, you're a handsome man.
Thanks, bud. I appreciate that. Did you see Vanessa Lopez got a kitten and named the kitten after my movie crush nickname?
No.
Vanessa Lopez got a kitten and named, forgive me for not knowing the gender, named the kitten Old Smoky Velvet.
That's fucking fantastic.
She tagged me. It really made my day.
I love that. I got to see that kitty. Lopez, send me a pic.
It's on the page.
Is it?
Yeah, it's hard to search Crushers page. Yeah.
All right. Well, she knows how to find me.
Totally.
Andrea Hammond says, I've never liked Terminator 2. That kid is annoying. Woo. Brian Bankhead says, Parasite wouldn't have won Best Picture if it were an American film. What? I poo-poo on that.
I don't get all the Parasite hate. I think it's just sour grapes. I thought it was wonderful.
It is. David Barlow says, Knives Out wasn't as great as everyone seems to think it was. And got some validation from Margarita Saramago. Oh, breaking my heart. I love that movie. All right, let's read a few more of these. Mm-hmm. George Ferris says, The Dark Knight is not a good movie. The only good thing about it was Heath Ledger's performance.
I will say it's a little overlong and the plot's a little convoluted, but... yeah, he makes it for sure. I never liked Christian Bale as Batman. I found him very obnoxious as Batman with that voice he does.
Yeah. I mean, the voice was a little overdone, but I mean, I enjoyed all those movies. I thought they were all really good. I thought they were all very, very good. And let's finish up with, I'm trying to find a real good one. Oh, okay. We'll go with our old friend, Debbie Frangadakis. Hereditary wasn't scary, and The Witch sucked shit.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of people that'll fight you on that one, bud.
Man.
I know The Witch wasn't for everybody, but you've got to appreciate the craftsmanship of that film, the attention to detail, the period accuracy.
Oh, it was amazing.
The subtle scares, you know, it's more like cerebral. And I know that can be a stand-in for boring, but it worked. And I felt like by the end of that movie, I had witnessed something like that I shouldn't have been witness to. You know what I mean? Like I was eavesdropping on some real evil shit.
Yeah, totally.
Love that director. Have you seen that? Of course, we talked about The Lighthouse. Lighthouse has a similar vibe, quality of like seeing something play out in front of your eyes. That's like,
yeah, just fully authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I got to read this one too. Aaron Snell says, Holy Grail and Princess Bride are not funny at all. And quite frankly, not very good movies, even though I appreciate their cult fandom. Oh, Emily Ayers, Titanic is a piece of shit. Boy, I love how mean people are.
Some people just needed a vent, I guess. And, I mean, Titanic is, you know, it's trite as shit, dude. I'll give you that.
Oh, I liked it.
Have you watched it in recent years?
Yeah, it was on, Nate DeMayo did this on the show.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I liked it. It was fine. It's certainly the script sucked in a lot of ways. I think John Cameron. I think
James Cameron.
James Cameron. I'm losing my mind, Noel. You threw me with that cum talk.
I broke your brain.
I think James Cameron's weakest point as a filmmaker is his writing. I always have. Or specifically his dialogue, because there's more to movie writing than just dialogue. All right. I think we'll leave the... Well, of course, I'm leaving it up because it's on the Crushers page, and I didn't do it. Ooh, Samuel G. Betts says Hamilton sucks. Oh.
You haven't watched it yet, have you, Chuck?
No, still haven't. I'm going to have to watch it by myself because Emily's just having a hard time finding time for a 3-hour thing.
Yeah, I watched the first hour. I think a lot of people have had to watch it in a couple of sittings because it is quite epically long.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do it soon. All right, Margarita, that's fantastic. And now, Noel, we're going to move over to one more thing from the Crusher Spades. I just have to navigate this garbage Facebook page to try and find it. Oh, Noel. Mike Snelling Jr. He's one of the great crushers, Noel. Yes, search this group for Mike Snelling Jr. That's what I'm asking you.
Come on, FB.
All right, here we go.
You got this.
Here was his post, Noel. I thought this could be kind of fun. Best movie kill. Any genre, any style. What's your favorite movie kill?
I've got a bunch. I'm going to reserve them for a few.
Okay. You want to go ahead and why don't you say your one of them now.
Well, there's one that I know someone mentioned, but it's the wood chipper scene in Fargo is epically great and very satisfying, as the listener wrote in the post. There's so many good ones. I've got to rack my brain, but that one just came to mind because I saw somebody posted that one, and I completely agree.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways you can go here. There's just a straight up sort of inventive kill if you're into that kind of thing in a movie. And Mike Snelling actually posted from Punisher Warzone, snaps a guy's arm and stabs him with his own fractured bones. Like I haven't seen that before. So there's like creative kills like that, or it can be just satisfying because the bad guy gets what they deserve kind of thing. You know, there's two different ways of looking, or more than two, of a good movie kill.
Agreed.
Joanna Wicks says, "Hello, my name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." Yeah, very satisfying kill.
Does he just run him through? He just kind of runs him through, doesn't he, with his little sword.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Justin Lee Cox says, "Anytime someone is sliced in half, Kingsman is a good example." Yeah, that's always fun.
There is a good one of those in that movie, Johnny Mnemonic. Remember that with Keanu Reeves?
I never saw that.
It was kind of a cyberpunk kind of thing.
Yeah,
like,
I remember.
I think it was based on William Gibson like esque type material, maybe even actually a William Gibson book. But there was a character who was like an assassin. It was this old Japanese man who had this like weird long thumbnail that he could pull out, and it was like a laser whip. It was like an implant, you know. It was like it was like a fake thumbnail. It wasn't like he was pulling out his fingernails, but it was like a laser thing, like a garrote, like whatever you call those, like a piano wire, you know, but made of laser. And he would just whip it at people, and then they'd fall apart in cubes or be completely cut in half. Yeah,
that sounds fucking killer.
Yeah, it was good. Also, Henry Rollins plays a doctor in that movie, which is a little interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Henry Rollins, he always has a lot to say, Noel. Do you like him?
He's a smart fella, and he's definitely been witness to a lot of amazing cultural history. Yeah. I can't say that I'm a fan of like Black Flag or like his music, really. It's just not my flavor, but I think he's a interesting dude. I like hearing him tell stories. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had a full second career as what do you call that? A public speaker?
Yeah, I guess so. Spoken word. I mean, what he does is somewhere between like storytelling and kind of like beat poetry or something. I'm not really even sure. Yeah, you're right. It is a little weird.
Wesley McNeely, our old friend, says, "Death by carelessly placed toxic waste in RoboCop." Yeah, that was great. JP Mendez, the Departed's elevator scene. Whew, man, you ain't kidding. Becca Lou, one of our old pals, says, "The mace to the face in Braveheart is pretty badass."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, gotta get a mace to the face.
Did you ever see that movie Cube, Chuck? I think we've talked about Cube.
Yeah, I saw Cube, the first one.
Yeah, there was the good death scene, the very first scene, pre-credits even. The dude walks into the room, and then he, like, you know, there's like a swish sound, and then there's like he falls apart into little cube-shaped meat pieces, and then you see this like grid of like bloody wire kind of like reset into the wall. That's a cool that's a cool kill.
I gotta say the over the topness of the end of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was kind of fun.
Oh yeah,
and it's all, you know, it's good to see the Manson family getting eviscerated in different ways.
They're just desserts. Yeah. I think some people had like an issue with the whole violence against women thing. Even though she was there to murder a pregnant woman, it's still a little hard.
It's the Manson family.
I know. I'm just being a liberal snowflake here.
Karen Petrick says, "There's a scene in Machete. I need to see that. I don't know why I never saw that. A scene in Machete that involves someone swinging out of a window by their intestines, if I recall correctly. We were laughing so hard." Did you see Machete?
Nope, that's with Danny Trejo.
Yeah, right? Man, he's amazing. He was on Top Chef this year. It was great.
Like as a judge?
Yeah, like they bring in guests, you know, that they're always guests that are fans of the show.
Yeah.
And he came in. It was great.
He has a chain of taquerias in L.A. or Southern California.
Yeah, I think it was a taco challenge, in fact, that he came in on, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see. Alexander Sharp says John Wick 1, as he shoots the bad guy, he just hits with his car as the bad guy rolls over the car's roof. Yeah, he was using car as weapon in John Wick.
Yes.
Very creative.
I love those movies so much, Chuck. I think we've talked about it. I just think they're so satisfying. And yeah. Really good use of Keanu Reeves. I watched The Devil's Advocate last week.
I never
really
saw that.
It's fun. It's, you know, it's fun. But Keanu Reeves is so wooden and weird in so many things. But when he's used correctly, it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I would never say that he's a good actor, but he gives it his all. And especially with, like, the stunt work and all of that that he does in Matrix and John Wick and all that. Like, I mean, he's definitely a team player.
I've grown to love him as a human being as well. He seems like a wonderful guy. Roman Fuqua, he's not the kind of guy that leaves you waiting for hours and hours on a movie set, Noel.
No, I heard a lovely story about how he was like went to see a movie, and the person who was writing this account was like the ticket taker, and like said, "Oh my gosh, let me put you on the like." Let me let you use my employee pass to get a discount. I just need you to sign your name right here. And then Keanu was like, well, but I'm not you. That'd be weird. It's fine. I'll just pay for the movie. And then he, there's a knock on the back of the ticket door, and it's Keanu Reeves. And he's got like a jujubes in his hand or something like that, and a receipt. And he's like, I kind of figured maybe you just wanted my autograph. So I did my autograph here on the back of this receipt. And then he proceeds to throw the candy in the trash, making him realize he went and bought something just so he could get the receipt to sign his autograph for this kid.
He should have signed the jujubes.
That would have been cooler. You're right.
I saw that other story where he was, he went to like the person who lived in the house, knew that they drove him to set by her house. And they put a sign in the front yard that said something about, hey, Keanu, or whatever. And he made the driver pull over and he signed the sign. He just seems like a great guy. There are plenty of stories online about Keanu Reeves doing wonderful things.
He also like lost his significant other really tragically a long time ago and has never really, you know, had a longstanding relationship since, it looks like. He's always been kind of a loner.
Well, he does now.
He does. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's good. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, he's been dating this woman, but very low profile for a bit now. I think it's recently kind of come a little more public.
Got it.
But she seems like a wonderful, lovely person.
I want Keanu to be happy. He just seems like a sweetheart.
Me too. Romeo Fuqua says, Final Destination movies have a bunch. That log truck scene has messed up a lot of people for life. I never saw that, but I do know of that scene. And I've heard a lot of people say that like they can't even ride, like drive near a log truck ever again.
Yeah, the one that did it for me is the kid's in the shower and he slips and falls on this like piece of fishing line that's hanging up to like dry his socks, and it just wraps around his neck like a bunch of times, and you see like the blood vessels in his eyeballs burst as he suffocates while like clawing at his throat. You know, for it's really upsetting.
Yeah. Totally upsetting. Mm-hmm. This is a good one. Jim Winepress says Sam Jackson in Deep Blue Sea. My younger teenage self was blown away. Yeah, that was pretty funny. Do you remember that part?
Totally. The shark just comes out and just snags him.
Yeah, that was good.
Isn't that after we think the shark's dead, too? Or we think the shark's sort of out of the picture, and then that's like the big return?
I don't think so. Okay. It was just unexpected because it was fairly early in the movie, and they were just, I think he was ranting about like what to do or whatever, right. And it was out of nowhere. That's what made it so shocking. I guess everyone knows these are all spoiling everything, surely, right?
I would hope so, Chuck. I would hope so.
Can't talk about movie kills without spoiling some stuff.
Nope.
this is kind of good. This is from Adam Smith. There was some movie with a volcano I watched when I was younger that I can't remember the name of. Haven't been able to for years. Lava was like underground, and there was these two guys stuck in some sort of car. And one guy was disabled, so the other guy had to pick him up and jump over some lava while carrying the guy. But the guy only made it halfway with the other guy. So while he was lava melting, the guy had to throw the disabled guy the rest of the way before he finished melting to death.
That is a real complicated scenario right there.
And Josh Toko below him says, it's called Volcano. And Adam Smith said, oh shit, really? That's hysterical. What a weird, fun thread that is.
I was thinking about that. I was like, I think the movie you're thinking of is Volcano.
Yeah, that's
the only thing that would have made it better if it was called Volcano, colon, the movie.
Pamela Edens Laritz says, Gone Girl, when Amy slits Desi's throat. So much blood. I could watch it over and over.
Why? Sicko. Jeez.
Oh, here's a great one, Noel. Jesse Green says, Bone Tomahawk. You know the scene.
That's a cutting in halfer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to watch that again. That was one of my favorite movies of that year. And definitely one of my favorite Westerns.
And that guy's real interesting. He's done some other ones like Dragged Across Concrete and something about a cell block something or other, like a brawl in cell block something. Forget the guy's name, but yeah, he seems really interesting. Casey's a fan.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me. Our oldest of friends, Zach Pointer, says, Fassbender putting the coin through Bacon's head in X-Men First Class. Yeah, remember that?
I don't think I do. Is it like... If I remember correctly,
I think it was very slow. If I remember correctly, the coin just goes very slowly into his brain and through his head.
Oh, wow. Kevin Bacon. Gosh,
the Baconator.
I don't even remember him being in that movie. Was he was a bad guy, I assume. Was he a bad like FBI agent or something? I really don't remember much about X-Men First Class.
I'm trying to remember. I think he was a Nazi. I think he was a Nazi, Noel.
All right.
I think it was a flashback. I'm trying to remember. It's been a while. That's all ringing a bell, though. Nikki Taylor Schneider, of course, has the meme of Hans Gruba falling off of Nakatomi Plaza. Pretty satisfying kill. Cheryl Creech Siner says, when Vincent Vega accidentally shoots Marvin in Jules' car, it gets me every time I see it. Yeah, that was pretty classic. Pretty classic. Got a lot of votes for Kill Bill just overall. Erica Sim says, like everything in it, but especially the 5.5 finger death punch.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to find this coin scene. This is very intriguing to me, but I'm having a hard time. I mean, no, it exists. It's just a long clip.
Just take your time, Noel.
All right.
We'll just fucking sit here.
Oh, come now, Chuck.
Quit talking about coming. All right, let's do a couple more of these and get out of here. The Accountant, this is from Christine Cope, with John Lithgow's character. I didn't see that movie. I think that was the Ben Affleck thing, right?
The Accountant. Is it an assassin movie? For some reason, it strikes me.
Yeah, I think he was an assassin.
I did not see it.
And we'll finish up here with Drew Thomas with the wood chipper from Fargo. Still the best. And got a lot of uplikes for that. Great, great kill in that movie. My favorite part of that sequence is when Fran McDormand points to her badge on her hat because the wood chipper's so loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, put your hands up. Freeze, police, freeze, police.
Hey.
And then he looks over and she just points at her hat.
It's fantastic.
So cute. I love, love, love Fran McDormand. Boy, she's great. All right, Noel. Well, that is it, my friend.
I found the coin scene. It is pretty. Wow.
Isn't it slow motion?
Yeah, big time. Like,
very slowly goes through his head.
It's just coming at him.
And is Bacon a Nazi?
He looks pretty Nazi-ish. Yeah.
All right.
A Nazi.
Confirmed.
All right. Good one today, Chuck. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, dude. Always good to see you. And, I guess, I don't know if we're on next week or not. I guess we'll have to see, but I appreciate your time and efforts and your handsome face.
Oh, thanks, bud. Well, I'm around. We will see you next time, folks.
All right. Bye, everybody.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.